Living now. Just after I gave the talk last week, it's just following morning, had to get up at 3:30 and get ready to take a flight to Melbourne for the Victorian BASAC ceremonies, giving lots and lots and lots of talks, and then come back to look after the shop here. So I work really hard, and I am getting lazy in my old age. So I decide to try and give talks so that people won't need to come and bother me with questions anymore. Because one of the biggest questions I've been bothered with in Melbourne and here is when there's tragedies in life, when things go wrong, when nothing works out the way it should be, and you're left in big trouble, and that's when you usually come and bother me. I've got my own trouble. When I work it out, I think, ah, I'm peace at last. Then somebody comes and dumps their problems on me. Oh, I wanted to have a nice, peaceful life as a monk, but I have to work out the problems of the people over in Victoria, raise funds for them. And then someone rings me from Sydney with their problems. And then from overseas with their problems. There's how many billion people in the world? That's a lot of problems. So, in order to try and solve everybody's problems in one hit so I can retire and have an easy life, this evening's talk, it won't work, but it's worth a try, is how, what to do when everything falls apart, when life really becomes difficult, when there's so much pain and disappointment and there's nothing you can do at all. What to do when it all goes really, really wrong. Number one, when things go really, really, really wrong, you should say, I expected that. Because too often we live in this fool's paradise where we think that everything will go rosy, that everything will be wonderful. You know, sometimes that what used to happen when I grew up, we always had the fairy tales, and the fairy tales that everybody lived happily ever after. But you know that's not true. In fairy stories there is. They ride off right off into the sunset, and that's when the arguments start. And the disappointments happen. That's the trouble. Happy ever after is a fantasy, or is it? Maybe you get married, or you get your job, or you win the lottery, and you think you live happily ever after, but no, that's not the right fairy story. The right fairy story you'll see at Dhammasara, to monastery. And the nuns, they became anagarikas or novices, they became nuns, and then they lived happily ever after. Who are the happiest people you've ever seen? Hopefully in front of you, yes. So that's the way to live happily ever after. The real fairy story should be, once upon a time, a person was born, and they heard the Buddha's teachings, and they became monks and nuns, and they live happily ever after. But no, even as monks and nuns, you have lots of troubles and difficulties. So how do we deal with those difficulties? Number one, we expect them. That's the problem, because so many of these things we think we don't anticipate them. When they happen, we think something has gone wrong. When we think something has gone wrong, that's when we get angry, guilty, we blame people. Now that is the problem. It's not life is the problem, it's just our expectations and the reaction we have when our expectations don't come true. So, my advice, which I think I said last week, please lower your expectations. I love that. It's opposite to what everybody says in the world. Raise your expectation. Aim for the stars. If you aim for the stars, you fall a long way. So for me, lower your expectation, have a much happier life. But especially understand this is part of life. And when it does get tough and difficult, there is a reason for that. As I said, I think last time, the 70% rule. If you always get 100%, you learn nothing. 30%, you get depressed. 70%, which is what most people have in life. Yes, sometimes you get things go wrong, the 30% of the time. But that is where we learn, that is where we grow. That's where we realize there's something to be fixed up there, something to be done, something to understand, some work to be done. And it's because of the work we do, learning why did those mistakes happen, and making strategies so they don't happen again. It's not blaming and punishing, that never works, but learning. We say in Australia, that's the AFL code. The AFL code is nothing to do with football, it's to acknowledge, forgive and learn whatever happens. Acknowledge, yes, it hurts, the mistake has been made. Forgive it means not blaming others, not blaming yourself. Blaming yourself is guilt. And learning from it. And what do we actually learn? The learning is the best part. And one of the best stories I ever heard, which is a classic Buddhist story, which I change as I usually do. If you ever say these stories, don't just say them as I say them. Change them, they adapt all the time. Let stories grow and embellish them. And that was the story of the man who was being chased by the tiger. This is the story which says what to do when everything goes terribly wrong. He was being chased by a tiger in the jungle. A man-eating tiger. And there's two things you should know about tigers. First of all, they can run much faster than you can. So if you're being chased, you're in big trouble. And number two, they like human beings for dinner. It's a delicacy. Especially fat human beings, like monks. So anyway, this tiger was running after this man in the jungle. And what did the man do? He was really in big trouble. The tiger was almost at his heels. He saw a hole in the jungle, an abandoned well. Yes, it's exciting, isn't it? Thank you for those special effects. And he had no choice. He took a risk. He jumped into that well. And as soon as he committed to jumping into the well, that's when he realized he made a big mistake. Have you ever done that? You know, you take a risk and you find, uh-oh, big mistake. Because that well was dry, there was no water in the bottom. Instead of water, there was a big black snake coiled up into the bottom of the well. Instinctively, he reached to the side of the well and grabbed a root which was poking through the wall of the well. That stopped his fall. And when he sort of settled down and came to, he looked up. The tiger hadn't given up yet. The tiger was leaning over the well, trying to paw him from above. But his hand holding the root was just too low. The tiger couldn't reach him. And then he looked down. The snake had woken up. The snake had lifted its head, had opened its hood. That was... Did I get any of you that way? Look, it's Friday evening. You've been at work. I need to wake you up somehow. Make this a lie. Trying to strike his feet. But the feet were just too high. The snake was stretching. It couldn't quite hit the guy's feet. So there he was. Stuck between a man-eating tiger and a venomous snake. And as he was wondering what to do next, he saw from a hole in the side of the well two mice crawl out, a black mouse and a white mouse, and those mice started chewing at the root. just to make it a little bit more scary. So what should he do next? What would you do? You get so anxious and afraid. The roots getting thinner and thinner. I'm brought up. Tiger above me, a snake below. Ah! But not this guy. This guy had been to the Buddhist temple many times. He'd read the story in Opening the Door of Your Heart. He knew exactly what to do. That's why you come to places like this. If ever you're in a jungle and this happens to you, you know exactly what to do. Or something similar. Because what was happening next? The tiger was trying to paw him from below, and his backside was rubbing against a tree, making the tree shake. On a branch of the tree, directly above the well, there was a beehive. Don't worry about the bees, they're okay. As the hive was shaking, honey started to drip down. And this man put out his tongue to taste the honey and said, that's so delicious. And that is the end of the story. Now that is a great Buddhist story, because it doesn't have an ending. Because life doesn't have endings, does it? Life is work in progress. Now I think you can recognize the meaning of that story. Sometimes life is like that. Like between a tiger and a snake. Whichever way you go, you're going to get eaten or bitten. Either way, you're in big trouble. And you can't hold on for much longer, because the mice, the black mouse and the white mouse, signifying night and day, are eating at your precarious hold on safety. That root is going to give way at any time. But it doesn't matter. There's always honey dripping down. And your job, when you're between a tiger and a snake, is to enjoy the honey. That's delicious. Now that is wisdom. That is what you're supposed to do when everything is going wrong. When you're in big trouble, where there's problems all around, where your life is falling apart, where you got cancer, where your family have left you, where you got no money, you're about to go to prison, or even worse, there's always some honey dripping down somewhere. Please taste it. That's delicious. You know why? Because, as I said during the meditation, we worry so much about the future that we can't enjoy the honey of the present moment, the joy of life. And after a while, we realize that all those things we worried about never actually happen. In fact, the unexpected is usually what happens. If you look back at your life, it's so unexpected. How many of you ever thought, even a year ago, that you'd be spending Friday night after a busy day's work in a Buddhist temple, listening to a monk who tells bad jokes? This is today's bad joke. I'm going to get into big trouble if this goes. I think it is streamed live all over the world. I hope there's no policeman in Los Angeles listening to this evening, because this is a story of Obama, the President Obama, who decided to test out his law enforcement agencies. He decided to compare the CIA with the FBI and the Los Angeles Police Department. So he gave them a test. He released a rabbit in the forest. And he sent in the CIA, first of all, to find that rabbit. They took 2 whole months and they sent the president a report that their crack intelligence agents were convinced there was no rabbit in that forest. Thank you, CIA. And then they sent in the FBI. And the FBI went in with their guns, They shot half the trees down in the forest. And then they came out after 1 month saying, yes, they agree with the CIA. There is no rabbit in that forest. And then they sent in the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department. They were only in there for 3 or 4 hours before they brought out this bear. And this bear was covered with bruises and cuts. It had his hands up and was shouting, okay, I admit it, I'm a rabbit, I'm a rabbit.
I do apologize
to anyone in the Los Angeles Police Department. But you do have a reputation. So I am the man who tells bad jokes. But anyway, back, there's always some honey going on. You can always laugh at life, even sometimes when things are going wrong. Because life is a series of the unexpected, as I say. The idea that you'll be in a Buddhist temple listening to a monk tell a joke like that. Totally unexpected. So, I gave a possible outcome to that story, which is likely. In my outcome to that story, because I always look at the positive side of life. As I said, I think last week or a week ago, Malaysia 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm going there again next week. Next Friday I'll be in Malaysia giving some more talks for another temple's Waisak ceremonies. Life, what happens, as I told the story in Kuala Lumpur a couple of weeks ago, the title of my series of talks was Don't Worry, Be Happy. And I had to explain to people, what does worry actually mean? Anxiety is looking at the future with a negative mind. In other words, thinking of all the things which will go wrong when you look at the future. And that is a very unskillful way of looking at the future. That's called worry. The other way of looking at the future, if you're going to look at the future at all, look at all the things which might go right. That's called hope. So remember what I said? If you're going to look at the future, don't worry, be hopey. Remember? Not happy, because they said be happy. They said no, be hopey. I like inventing new words for the English language. So remember, if you're going to look at the future, don't worry, be hopey. I think you understand what I mean. So, there you go. Tiger above, snake underneath, the mice eating at your precarious hold on safety. Don't worry, be hopey. And so I worked out what might happen. That tiger, lent a little bit too far. You know what it's like when you're greedy, when you really want something, you can't quite reach it, you just reach a little too far. How many times has that happened to you? You reach too far, and the tiger fell into the well. Fortunately, he just missed the man, but fell right on top of the snake, crushed the snake to death, and broke its own neck at the same time. That way, both of them being killed, that man could climb out of the well at his leisure and walk happily home again. All his worries were overcome because of the unexpected. Now that's one of the problems. When life starts to go wrong, there's always some honey. Eat and enjoy that honey, because the future is not what you expect it's going to be. It's always the unexpected. Which is why we take that honey, and at the same time, we always remember that great story that because of the way that life is run, it will pass. That's a great story of the Emperor's Ring, which I was told so many years ago, which has helped me, because just because I'm a monk, it doesn't mean that life always goes well. I'm a stupid monk, I must admit, because being a monk, you're supposed to have a nice, simple life. Just do nothing, have no responsibilities. And I have so many responsibilities these days, it's ridiculous. I don't know how I got into this. Sometimes, you look back and say, how did I allow myself to get into this? What? And a lot of time it's because you just go with the flow and just see what happens. And you're kind. The more times you're kind, the more times you say yes, the more responsibility you get. But it's fine, you enjoy yourself, you just give. But you give knowing that no matter what happens, it will pass. So there are times in my life when things get very, very difficult. Monks disrobing, people leaving their temples, things not really working out very well. In this center, in the monasteries overseas, all over the world. And you're supposed to sort it out. And people you've known a long time get into real big trouble. It's not of their fault. And you've got to try and help them. My goodness, sometimes it's so difficult. Actually, I should mention to you, if ever that happens to you, one of the great tricks to make it pass very quickly is to have the attitude of a dustbin. It's very, very apt, because that's what I feel sometimes after these talks. I sit here and people queue up to tell me their problems. Basically, they're just dumping their trash into me, because that's what it is like, that's what it feels like. And I don't mind, I'm very happy to receive your rubbish. You come and tell me about your kids are not doing well, that you're they're taking drugs or they're misbehaving, your husband has got a mistress, your wife is spending all your money, or she's left you and she's taking all your money anyway before she spent it. And you got cancer and there's problems all over the place and you're dying and life is dying and you know all the problems which people have. So you listen to them with kindness, and it's really nice actually that people actually tell you these things. Sometimes that's all they need to do, is just to open up and let somebody listen to it to them. Because when they tell you, it doesn't really sound so bad once they bring it up. So my teacher said to me that one day that you'll be like me, because Ajahn Chah said he's a dustbin, a trash can. Everybody comes and they tell him all their problems. But he said the most important thing about being a dustbin or a trash can is always to have a hole in the bottom. Now that's the most important thing. So when people dump their stuff in, it goes straight through and you keep nothing. If you're a trash can with the bottom in it, you soon get filled up and that's when you can't take any more. As for me, you dump something in, and by the time you've gone, I've forgotten it, and then somebody else comes and dumps some more in. I receive a whole lot of it, but my goodness, I keep nothing. When I go back to my room, I've forgotten everything. Isn't that wonderful to be able to do that? To be a trash can, a dumping ground with no hole. That means you're always empty to receive the next person's problems. I know that some psychologists were saying they get burnout. I went to a psychology meeting a couple of weeks ago. That's the reason why they get burnout. It's because that they keep things. So when you do have life's difficulties, please learn how to let them go. Because if you don't let go of the difficulties today, you won't be able to be able to cope with the difficulties which are coming tomorrow. The difficulties keep on coming, but they do pass. That's a wonderful thing about that story, the Emperor's Ring, because the story became this emperor. You know who the emperor is, don't you? It's you. You're the emperor of your life, of your body, of your little family, of your world. The emperor in this story, a young guy who hadn't got much experience. Every time life was going well, he thought this is the way life should be. And he would have parties and have fun and have feasts and have holidays and have a wonderful time, which is fair enough. When life goes well, enjoy it. But because he took the good times for granted, he never realized that even the good times will pass. It meant he didn't prepare himself for when the difficult days came. And when the difficult days did come, number one, he never expected it. Number two, he didn't know how to cope with it. So he ended up getting depressed and angry. Angry at others and angry at himself for making mistakes. He just was incompetent. He couldn't do anything. He stayed in his room and sulked and cried and got angry and upset. That's no way to solve problems. So this emperor, he had all these ministers who were supposed to help him, but if you're a minister looking after a king, you can't tell the king what to do. He won't listen. You know what it's like having a husband?
he won't listen. And same with the wife, she won't listen either. So you've got to be smart, you've got to be sneaky. So the ministers, what they did, they got this ring, a simple ring, but on the outside of the ring were written the timeless words, "This too will pass." They engraved it on the outside of the ring. And I've told that story many years ago. And some people here have actually got a ring, and they got their jeweler to actually inscribe those words on the outside. They showed it to me, "This too will pass." Just like the emperor's ring, because this emperor would wear that ring on all occasions. They told him to. And that changed his whole life. When life was going very, very difficult, when there was a lot of problems, sometimes insurmountable problems in his life, he looked at that ring and it told him, "This too will pass," which it did. This is not just a theory. This is a truth. Many of you have really been in very dark places in your life, and you've come out of them. It doesn't matter how bad it gets, it doesn't last. That is a truth of this nature of life, a simple truth, but it's being reinforced this evening. Just remind yourself. Sometimes when we do go into those dark places, again, we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. That is one of the problems why we get really depressed, because we can see no ending to this. Just having a ring like that reminds you, yes, there is an ending. No matter how tough it gets, it will not last. I remember telling that to many prisoners I used to meet in jail. I don't care how long your sentence is, there will come a day, and you'll be surprised at how soon it comes when you walk out of this jail. When you walk out of this jail, you'll feel very happy. You're now free. 1 or 2 years after that time, you probably won't even remember being in jail. It'll be a totally different life for you. It does pass. I can't resist telling this story. I don't know where I told this story. Again, I give so many talks all over the world. If I told it recently here, never mind. Remember, repeating stories, it will pass. So if it gets really miserable for you, you'll be between a tiger and a snake. Don't worry about it. There's always some honey somewhere. And that's the story I read in this news, in an article about this young kid, 6 years of age, is when he ran away from home in Los Angeles. I think he had one of these very abusive families, beating him, not really looking after him. So he left home and lived on the streets from the age of about 6 years of age. It's incredibly he survived. But, you know, the only way to get by was petty crime, and you get sort of arrested every now and again. And from petty crime to, you know, bigger crime, he became a career criminal. And what changed his life, he was in his late 40s or 50s, was when he was shortly to be released from another spell in jail. He had a case officer who was trying to find him a job. How can you get a job, you know, once you've been in prison most of your life? Who would employ you? But she was very resourceful. She found just the right job with his life experience qualifications. Because she knew a friend of a friend who was making a movie about gangsters. And they wanted someone who really knew how true criminals spoke and acted. He was about to be released, so she got him a job as a consultant in this gangster movie, that he was highly qualified for that. But once the director saw him, he was so authentic, he gave him a part in the movie, and he became one of the stars. The movie was called Reservoir Dogs. It was a breakthrough movie of Quentin Tarantino. And this guy, he wrote this article. He was only 6 months out of jail. He made this movie, and he was sitting in a mansion in Malibu somewhere with more money than he'd ever had in his whole life, because this movie was a success. And he married that case officer. You couldn't believe just how life changes so quickly. 6 months ago, he was in prison with no money and prospects. Now he had no more money than he could deal with. And he was free and married and happy. That's what I mean. Life does have unexpected turns to it. It is totally unexpected. That's why when you have this, this too will pass, and it does. I've had many stories of people here. Amazing things happen to them. Things just change. Their life just turns around on a dime and goes in directions you never ever expect. Difficulties get solved. Problems, they just, after a while, you work through them, and the time comes, they're gone. That's why that this is important to understand, that every time you're really in the shit, really deep in it, having a terrible time, remember, yeah, it passes. It's a wonderful thing to remember. Which means it gives you courage and confidence that is the light at the end of the tunnel. Which means you can keep going on. And it doesn't matter how dark it is, there is always the honey. So even though your life is falling apart, still look for happiness and joy. And that makes it much more tolerable. Even though there's honey there, people refuse to drink it or eat it simply because they're too afraid and they just don't know how to live their life. But even more important is that when things are going well, this is the problem with that emperor, with many people. When things are going well and you're having a good time and life is easy, please also remember this too will pass. People don't like to think like that simply because they think they'll get negative. You don't get negative. What happens when that emperor will look at that ring in the happy times, the good times, this too will pass? That made the emperor work even harder to make sure the good times lasted longer. Because our problem is we take things for granted. We take our partner for granted. We take our kids for granted. We take life for granted. We certainly take our monks and nuns for granted. I know that as a fact. We take our Buddhist nuns. We take everything for granted so much that we don't really care for it and look after it and nurture it. If you could actually remember this too will pass, then you will take much more care and have much more fun, have much more mindfulness and compassion with things because you know they're going to pass one day. How many of you have lost a brother, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, someone really close to you? You know it doesn't last, these relationships we have with each other. One of the reasons is because we do take them for granted. If we could have known all those years we've been together, we knew it was going to pass. We knew it was going to pass. We'd have taken much better care of it. And even if it does pass, we know we've enjoyed every moment because we cared all the way along. Our problem is we forget that when life is good. We become complacent and what the Buddha called negligent. That was the Buddha's last words of advice before he passed away. Be mindful, don't be negligent. Look after every moment. It's not going to come again. This too will pass. And those stories of this too will pass become very, very powerful. The next story I'm going to say of what to do when things get really, really difficult, when you are between the tiger and the snake. That was an old Buddhist story, but this is one of those stories I got from my own life. And again, some of you have heard these before, but it's going to be reinforced, especially for those who have never heard these stories before, because this actually works and it's incredibly powerful. It was the story of the guy who was a soldier in Burma during the Second World War. This was a fellow school teacher. In the 1 year I was a school teacher, this guy told me this story. He's very old, about to retire, because now he had been drafted into the British Army during the Second World War and sent to Burma to fight Japanese. And he wasn't a military man. He was like just a school teacher. Everybody had to join up in those days. So he found himself fighting a war in this foreign country, which he didn't really understand, with real bullets, and he was very, very afraid. And what happened one day, he told me that his fear reached its peak when he was out on patrol in the jungles with a small group of fellow British soldiers. And the captain, or rather scout, came back to tell them the news that they had stumbled into a huge number of Japanese troops. They were vastly outnumbered and now they were surrounded. And there was no way out. He thought he was going to die. This was war, surrounded by the enemy, outnumbered, about to die. Now, those of you who have ever known people who have fought in wars or battles, you will know from just the tales of soldiers that no one ever knows who's going to be the hero and who's going to be the coward. These big, strong guys, sometimes in those terrible situations, they just fall apart. Where these little guys, you never think would be the hero, stand up for the occasion and they become tall. They're the heroes. And this was this guy. He said, he had all this great heroism coming through his system. He decided to be the hero. He told the captain, "Let's fight our way out. The chances of anyone surviving are zero. But who knows, sometimes, somebody might survive. They certainly survive in the movies, but against all the odds. Who knows? And anyway, even if we do all die, we take some of the enemy with us into death. That's the heroic thing to do. That's what real men do." So he wanted to fight his way out. But his captain said, "No, we will not fight our way out. That's an order." And they had to follow that order. "Instead," said the captain, "I order you to all sit down and make a cup of tea." And I often say at this point, it was the British Army, after all. And he couldn't believe this order. Make a cup of tea when we're surrounded by Japanese troops, at war, outnumbered, about to die. How could you think of having a cup of tea? But an order was an order. And they had to follow it. He thought this was the craziest thing he'd ever done in his whole life. But it was to save his life. Because what happened, by the time, even before they'd made their cup of tea, the scout came back, whispered something in the captain's ear, and the captain got all the troops together and said, "The scout has said, the enemy has moved. There's a way through. Pull your stuff away quickly. We can crawl through this gap and all escape." And of course they all did. Which is why he could tell the story. And he said he'd hold his life, not just once, but many times, the wisdom of that captain. When there's nothing to do, when you're surrounded and about to die, what should you do? Sit down and have a cup of tea. If you prefer coffee, coffee will do. I don't care. You sit down and enjoy some honey. Because you know that things change. The surrounding army never stays still. They move. And when they move, if you have a scout called mindfulness, awareness, it will see gaps in the surrounding forces. It will see a way through which wasn't there before. A way to escape. And if you've waited, you will find that gap and you will escape. The trouble with most people when surrounded by the enemy, about to die, when things are really going wrong, we just lose it. We get upset, we get angry, we get depressed. We don't know how to have a cup of tea and enjoy ourselves just before we're about to die. And then we find we don't die. We enjoy ourselves, we wait, situation changes, and then we can make our move and escape with our life. He said later on he had cancer, terminal cancer. He thought he was about to die. He remembered that story about when he was a soldier, surrounded by the enemy, no hope, by these tumors or whatever else he had. He didn't tell me what cancer it was. And what did he do? Just relax and had a cup of tea. And didn't worry about anything. That's what he learns in the jungles of Burma. Maybe because he didn't worry, because he had tea. And I know that tea has lots of T cells, and T cells are supposed to attack us. Where's tea? No T cells. Okay, I'm not a doctor, I'm a medicine man. You doctors are going crazy. But no, he had a cup of tea, just relaxed. And because he didn't worry, the cancer vanished. He saved his life. He found a way through. And that's brilliant advice for any of you who really, again, in big trouble, surrounded by the enemy, you can't find any way out whatsoever. You're really in big trouble, grief because someone has died, is very close to you, and you just can't know how you're going to live another day. Or, you know, financial troubles, someone you love very, very much has left you, they've dumped you, and you don't know what to do. What to do? Surrounded by the enemy, suffering on all sides, death even worse. What to do is sit down and have a cup of tea. Relax. Knowing that the future is unexpected, it always changes. And if you know how to deal with this, you'll be ready. Ready and waiting for when there is something to do. And there you are, someone's calling you up, telling you what to do. You waited long enough. So this is how we deal with those big problems. And when it is something to do, then you're ready. Which is why in brief, when there's nothing to do, then do nothing. Rest and enjoy yourself. That is enjoying the honeys, which are always there. We miss so much joy in life because we're worried so much about the future, about what might go wrong. Do you have happy times? You don't have enough because we're worried about things. If there's something you can do, yes, do something. But there's nothing you can do, just enjoy the honey. Have a cup of tea, enjoy the moment, even though everything is going wrong. Enjoy it, please. Why not? There's nothing else you can do. Not only are you keeping your mind alert, you are giving yourself energy and happiness and hope. It means you're preparing yourself to act. So when there's nothing to do, do nothing. And when there's something to do, you're ready to give it everything you've got. Even though sometimes that's with kids who misbehave. Sometimes you have to let them go. Sometimes you can't do very much except to be there for them. When they give you a call, when they come and ask you, "Mum, I now need your help." That's what it's like in life. So often there's nothing you can do. You wait. You wait until there is something you can do. And that's when you give it everything you've got. If you're worn out because you've been worrying so much, upset, and you've got sort of into emotional problems, how can you help others? Which is why, remember this beautiful saying, there's nothing to do, please do nothing. There's something to do, give it everything you've got. And if you want to know what's the difference there, when to do nothing, when to give everything you've got, I'll finish with a famous story of the Prime Minister of Britain many years ago, Harold Macmillan, who was interviewed during what was known as the Six-Day War between Israel fighting Jordan, Syria, Egypt, I don't know who else, but a lot of countries. It was called the Six-Day War. One of the beginnings of the difficulties in that part of the world. And this journalist interviewed the Prime Minister. And the first question was, "What is your view about the problem in the Middle East?" To which the Prime Minister replied without hesitation, "Sir, there is no problem in the Middle East." "What do you mean?" said the journalist. "There's a war on as we speak. People are blowing each other up. Bullets are flying all over the place. People are dying. There's a war on. What do you mean there is no problem in the Middle East?" To which this statesman said very calmly, "Sir, a problem is something with a solution. There's no solution in the Middle East. Therefore, it can't be a problem." Remember that. That is brilliant psychology by someone who had such responsibility they could not waste their time and energy on something which didn't have a solution. If there was a solution, then it's a problem. Give it everything you've got. If it's not a problem, why do anything about it? So remember, someone calls you a pig. Is that a problem? Only if it's a solution. If there's no solution, not a problem. Okay, bye-bye. I don't even worry about it. So remember, this is how to deal with the difficulties in life. If you're dying, you really are dying, is that a problem? If there's something you can do about it, fine, give everything you've got. Can't do anything, terminal, great. No problem anymore. Isn't it wonderful? You don't have to go to this and don't have to go to that. No more sort of appointments, no more sort of medication. You're going to die anyway. At last, I know. I don't have to worry anymore. It's not a problem, is it? It's only a problem if it is a solution. If there's no solution, no problem. Then you don't waste so much time trying to solve problems. Instead, you can waste all your time having cups of tea and coffee and drinking the honey of life, and you'll have fun. Thank you for listening. Okay, you got a question from the floor, first of all, before we go to the questions from Philadelphia, Netherlands, and India. Yes. What happened to the mice? Oh, they had a wonderful time feasting on the carcass of the lion or the tiger and the snake. So even they won in the end. And as for the tiger and the snake, because they gave this wonderful story which has helped people for such a long time, they both got reincarnated in the heaven realm because of their good karma in creating a good story. From Jamie from Philadelphia, USA. My question for Ajahn Brahm is, can your expectations be too low? No, look at my... I've got no expectations at all. You can't get lower than a monk. I just live in no expectations at all. I don't expect anything. No money, no superannuation when I just don't expect anything. No praise, no... Don't even get a cup of tea sometimes. So... for those of you who want to have deep teachings, all expectations miss the point. You're missing the present moment, the place your future is being made. When you expect something, you're not inspecting. That's the opposite of inspecting, is expecting. So the job of a real person who really wants to understand the world is inspect it, don't expect it. You're looking outside of reality into something of the future, some myth which you think may happen. So actually, all expectations are really a waste of time. Instead, inspect the present moment. Make this moment right now beautiful, peaceful, happy. Give it everything you've got. That's the best you can possibly do. That's called the law of karma. What you make right now is what you reap in the future. When you're busy about thinking what you might reap in the future, you're not making anything right now except trouble for yourself. So, no expectations. Inspect. Now, whatever happens in life, you enjoy. So my life has exceeded all expectations, because I haven't had any. Joe Thomas from the Netherlands. How to deal with people that push you to get more out of life, while you yourself are happy and how things are going? You tell them, get a life. What do you mean, get more out of life? No, I've got lots and lots of life. So, how do you deal with people that push you? You don't get pushed. The only time there's a pushing is when there's resistance. So, don't resist. Just be pushed. Move this way when they push you to the right. Move this way when they push you to the left. If you're stiff, that's when you break. So, just be bendy. And they say, they push you to get more out of life. I keep saying this every week. If they keep pushing you, pushing you, pushing, they don't usually do it physically. It's usually through words. So you always say, yes, 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 sir, yes, darling, yes, mum, yes, father. And then once you finish saying yes, you go and do what you want to do. That's what the word yes is all about. You know, so just say, oh, yes. If you say no, you're in big trouble. Then you have to argue. And you, okay, I really shouldn't tell you all these tricks, because these are my tricks. when people ask me, can you come to my house to do a ceremony, and I don't want to go, I never say no. Because if I say no, you argue with me and tell me all the reasons why I should go. So I said, well, I'll go and ask the monks when I go back to our monastery tomorrow. And I do ask the monks. I ask them and say, look, I don't want to go. Can you please say no? Okay, they all say no. So, well, look, I asked the monks, but they said no. Always pass the buck if you possibly can. My other way is when they push me to do something, I say, I'll think about it. You know, there's some things I've been thinking about for years and years and years. Now, I'm not lying. I am thinking about it. So, you know, as a monk, we can't lie. Okay. Okay, here is a sexist joke, but it's a funny one. Please, I apologize to all females. I was told this many years ago. It doesn't apply in Australia, but it applies in other countries. So please forgive me. It's a story about what's the difference between a diplomat and a lady. I'm going to get into trouble for this, but it's too late now. The difference between a diplomat and a lady. If a diplomat says yes, they mean maybe. If they say maybe, they mean no. If they say no, they're not a diplomat. A diplomat can't say no. They say, well, maybe, and that means no. If they say yes, it means maybe. And a lady, I shouldn't say this. If she said no, she means maybe. If she says maybe, she's a lady. She means yes. If she says yes, she's not a lady. I'm in trouble for that. I apologize, please. I'm sorry. It was a funny story when I heard it 20 years ago. Oh, I'm going to get hit for that, I'm sure. I'm going to get out of here quick before I get into too much trouble. But I can see, you can see the funny side of it. No, ladies 20 years ago. Anyway. So just don't allow yourself to be pushed. Have all these... This is really important because sometimes we get so much peer pressure and we never do what we really want to do in life, and we never feel that, you know, we've got that fulfillment in life. Always doing what other people do. Always wanting to please others. And if that's your life, always trying to live up to other people's expectations and please others, you never please anybody, least of all yourself. So there comes a time you just relax and be yourself, and then you live up to everybody's expectation, become a very confident, happy person. Which is what everybody wants of you anyway. Anyway, lastly, Mona from India. What do you have to say about people who commit suicide when things go wrong before their mental, physical and financial limits? This is one of the problems. That's not really the right way to deal with things when you feel they're beyond your mental, physical and financial limits. They are beyond your physical, mental and financial limits right now, but not in the future. It will pass. Hang in there. This too will pass. It's the light at the end of the tunnel which gives you that hope. Yes, it's going to get better, because it usually does. Don't worry, be hopey. And this is the trouble. People commit suicide because they can't see that light at the end of the tunnel. They can't see any way through that situation. That is the big problem. Just to give that hope, to give that opportunity. Yes, you've got a tiger above you, a snake underneath you, and you've got this black or white mice are going to be eating at your precarious. You can't hold on for much longer, but you don't know what might happen next. So that means that you do have, through these teachings, you do have the mental and physical and financial width and strength and wisdom to be able just to hold on for a bit longer. And you see things, they do change. I don't know how many people here have been really under it, and really sort of, you have been able to recognize that it's like being surrounded by the enemy and it looks really, really bad. But you've just hung in there because you know it will pass, and you found out, yes, you've had actually success. You've got through it and you know the way past it. Many people have done that. So suicide is not the solution, because in Buddhism, if you kill yourself, you're still there afterwards. Your stream of consciousness is still there afterwards. And you think, I can't even kill myself properly. I'm still there afterwards. And you know, that makes you really depressed. So instead, there's a much better way. You're still there afterwards. Your stream of consciousness continues. So the problem is not solved. Your body is gone, but not the real problem. And one of the interesting things, this is for those who understand about reincarnation, rebirth, people do it once in their life, in this life, they tend to do it in the next life as well. They, you know, literally are repeat offenders. Because that is the solution they have when life gets tough. To kill their body and they think it's solved. Which means they keep on doing that, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And that's not the way to deal with the problems. You know, sometimes you've just got to stand up, face it, realize that it doesn't last, it's only a temporary thing. No matter how bad it gets, it's always temporary. That's when I was really, really down and sick, as I said a few weeks ago. Really down and sick in this third world hospital in Ubon, in Thailand. No, 35, 37 years ago now. Really, really bad. That was the hospital where first evening there, you know, you had typhus fever, felt terrible, next to death. And at 6 p.m., the nurse disappeared. 1 hour later, the night nurse still hadn't appeared. And I asked the monk next to me in the next bed, should we let someone know the night nurse hasn't arrived? But you know, if something happens in the middle of the night, you know, you've got no one to help you. And that's when the monk said, there is no night nurse in this hospital. We only have a nurse during the daytime sometimes. If something happens in the middle of the night, that's just bad karma. That was not reassuring. And that was true. You only had nurses there for half the day. At night time, you're at your own resources. And you know, people are really sick. And there's no bell to ring. No one would come. You scream and no one would come to help you. So good for a hospital. But anyway, after feeling so bad for about 2 or 3 weeks, that's when Ajahn Chah came to visit me. And now this was this big scene. Even by that time he was famous. And he came just to visit me. Oh, I felt so good and so happy and so relieved. The great master come to visit me. Yeah. But the euphoria only lasted for about 5 seconds. That's all. Because this great teacher, he came right up to me. And he said to me, Brahmawangsa, that's another full name. Not Ajahn Brahm, Brahmawangsa, he said, you're either going to get better or you're going to die. And then he left. His wisdom was wonderful, but his bedside manner was terrible. And that's so true. It doesn't last. You're either going to get better or you're going to die. And that's it. Very good teaching. So if any of you are going to visit your mother this weekend in hospital, no, your mom, I heard from this spot, you're either going to get better or you're going to die. Bye-bye, see you tomorrow. Don't do that. That really hurt me. But it's so true, isn't it? It doesn't last. And usually you get better. So that means be hopey. And then you find you can deal with trouble. You don't need to sort of commit suicide because it's not beyond your mental, physical and financial limits. You just think it's beyond your limits, that's all. And it may seem to be beyond your limits today. And it might be an accurate description. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. One of the reasons I said this, because I remember Charles Dickens, he had his 100th anniversary or something recently, last week or whatever, and one of his great books, I think, was, if it was wrong, David Copperfield, with Mr. Micawber. I always remember that guy, Mr. Micawber, when he went to this debtor's jail, and he couldn't pay his debts. This was in England 150 years ago, and if you ran into debt, they'd put you in jail for a few months or however long it took. And as he was being taken to jail, he always used to say, something will turn up, something will turn up. He was always an incredibly positive guy. Even going to jail, oh, he didn't mind, something will turn up. And of course, eventually it did. He was a typical, like, hopey person in Nicholas Nickleby's books. And that's why he turned out to be successful and got through all these difficulties. And I remember that as a kid reading that. And this is the sort of guy I'd like to be. No matter what happens, something will turn up. If you know haven't got enough money, something will turn up. If you go to jail, something will turn up. If you've got cancer, something will turn up. Keep being hopey, and the chances are you're actually increasing your opportunities and chances for health and success, as every psychologist or doctor knows. So don't worry, be hopey. Something will turn up. Okay, and now I'm going to turn off the microphone because thank you for all of those people over there. Hope you enjoyed today's session about how to deal with difficult problems in life. So now you don't need to ask any of the monks or nuns ever again. You know it all, so you can be happy and hopey and successful all the time. Thank you so much for listening. We can now pay respects to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha.